New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1049, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
And from Nashville, Tennessee, our managing editor, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Once again, Derek Miner and Jamie Ivey are off. We thought the last couple episodes, it would be kind of a one-time event, two-time event. Lo and behold, yet again, they blew us off. No, if you've been following Derek on social media, you know what he's doing. He is traveling right now. He's speaking at colleges and churches and previewing his new album that's about to come out. He's playing it. It's a listening tour. A listening and speaking tour, I guess, is what he's doing. It's really cool. I haven't seen many artists do this, but it's an interesting approach. But anyway, he's on the road right now. He will be back very, very soon. Not to fret, as will Jamie. Nice. I don't know what she's up to. I think she's just sleeping in. I don't know.
I feel like she's kind of conquering the world. She's doing so much right now.
I do too.
She's secretly taking over.
The rational mind in me is telling me that she's got a lot of, very substantive, professional, and personal, and spiritual obligations. The other side of me is saying she was so disciplined in January that she is just out there living her best life. It's like road trips to like Vegas and like the Bahamas and
No. She's set up a bunker in her house full of screens. She has 18 phones and she is like mission control, trying to keep up on the latest about Scandoval and all the Bravo drama happening for this past week. That's what's going on with Jamie Ivey. She just can't break away to do a podcast. She has to know the latest on the Vanderpump Rules drama that's happening in real time right now. It's taken over the internet.
It is funny.
Jamie can't be here with
us. I know nothing about that other than I saw a headline on some entertainment website that I peruse occasionally.
Dude, the New York Times is covering it. It was the front page.
Rolling Stone.
The headline was like, the real Bravo drama is now happening on podcasts. So help me out. Well, you know, I actually don't really care.
No, I'm not.
But I'm assuming instead of, the ladies of that franchise hashing out their differences over brunch and throne mimosas and Bloody Marys. They are.
No. This is not a housewife situation. This is Vanderpump Rules, which is the young Hollywood. It was the Sir restaurant, the bartenders and waitresses show. That one, where they were just trying to make it in Hollywood. Yeah, it's not the housewives, the middle-aged ladies who just like go to brunches and throw drinks on each other. It's not that show.
It's all the 30-year-olds who go to brunch and throw drinks on each other.
Yeah. No, they go to clubs and vacations and throw drinks on each other.
How dare I? Yeah. I haven't really been into like trash reality shows since Jersey Shore.
Oh, I have.
Though they're doing like Jersey Shore reunions, if I'm watching trash reality shows right now, it's usually like weird alternative history or like alien shows that are for some reason on a channel called the History Channel, even though it has nothing like, maybe it's just me aging that I find myself drawn to weird, like pseudo History Channel content that I stumble on Netflix. It's like, oh, hidden Nazi technology in the pyramids. All right, this is my new trash TV now. Like, I think I've graduated from interpersonal drama to just weird, like, Netflix documentary rabbit holes. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but I'm just telling you.
You brought up a good comp. This version of reality TV is the current version of Jersey Shore. So this show is today's Jersey Shore. So imagine if social media existed during Jersey Shore and actual crazy stuff that you never would thought would happen to those actual people started happening in real life, and it made actual news and hit the front page of the New York Times. And that's what's happening right now.
I got to be honest, even as you're telling me that the stakes are raised and there's more currency and it's unfold, and it's like watching live PD, where I'm watching arrests happen in real time.
That's right.
I got to be honest. Right. I still am not that interested in it.
I do think reality TV peaked at Jersey Shore because that was like...
What?
Did you ever watch Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was absolutely insane. Like the fact that they just randomly found these people and they found the most insane people I've ever... And I watch weird reality TV as well. Jersey Shore is like super crazy. But...
But there's two different types of reality TV, right? There's the reality TV where it's like, let's take all these strangers and put them in a house or in a resort and just put cameras everywhere and film them like a science experiment. That's Jersey Shore. That's Big Brother. That's Survivor. You know, that's Naked and Afraid. Yeah. You know, that's just like situational. Then there's the reality TV of like, let's film these characters in their quote unquote real lives and just see what happens, right? That's the other kind, right? And that's what's going on with this real life scandal. So it's very different than peak. I mean, you know what I mean? Jersey Shore is just like, let's find crazy characters and shove them in a house for a summer. I don't know.
I know. And it was wild. I should not have watched that in high school because that was some very formative years for me, but like it was so good.
Did you start dressing like Snooki or something?
It seems more cautionary than anything.
I kind of had to be like covert about it because I was like a good church girl, but like I would come home from youth group and watch the latest Jersey Shore episode because it was fascinating to me because they lived basically the exact opposite lives I was living. And I like to watch reality TV shows where I don't understand their lifestyle or culture. Like there's something about the Housewives, Kardashians. I've seen it enough that I'm like, I get how you operate, whatever. But that's why I go to like the weird TLC reality shows where it's like, I don't understand the Sister Wives. I want to understand you. So I'm going to watch this show or like the 90 Day Fiance. That is my worst nightmare. I will never do that. But I am fascinated by people that would
like
do
married
it.
At married at first sight, like weird social experiments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. So cringy and weird. I love it.
I watch anthropologically as well. Like I want to understand these people whose values or lifestyles are completely different from mine. I agree with that. I'm drawn to that as well.
I got to be honest though. And I know, I think we mentioned this last or in a recent week, but like, okay, the climatic moment for any of those shows, the one that the episode builds around,
The wine toss?
Basically, it's some sort of physical confrontation, right?
Flip the table.
Yeah, flip the table, you know, throw a drink, pull some hair, you know, or it's some sort of shocking revelatory thing, right? That is just mic drop. I cannot believe they just admitted to that. Whatever's happened to the TikTok or the Twitter algorithm, basically, it's just fast forwarding to that. It's weird fight videos at restaurants. Okay, like someone throwing a milkshake at a McDonald's, you know, and then just the kitchen unloads or like a Waffle House dispute turns into like Royal Rumble, right? Like so many or like some sort of, you know, overhearing a couple in some, you know, crazy TikTok video or some gym confrontation or someone on TikTok like, you're not going to believe it. I you know, married my neighbor's babysitter from growing up. What? You know what I mean? Like some sort of weird, like that's basically Twitter is just fast forwarding to the climactic scenes of any of these reality shows, putting it in 15-second clips and scrolling. I think they're just tapping into what people watch the reality shows and are just cutting right to the chase. In some cases, literally a chase.
Literally. Literally the chase. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. All right. Well, that's why Jamie's not here, is she's created a bunker to keep up with the latest on the Scandoval situation.
This is a great idea for his next social media app. Just call it Trash, right? Like if you're wanting content, like, and it just has different verticals. It has like awkward arguments over, you know, someone eavesdropped with their cell phone. One is confrontation on airplanes. There could be a whole content vertical for that. One could be fast food fights. It's just all the trash content that like clogs up our social media. One can just be like insane conspiracy theories from your uncle or whatever. Like each vertical, it just, It's not that that's going to go away. Well, why don't we just put it on its own social media site? Take it off all the other ones. And if you just want to get your fill of someone, you know, getting pushed into a deep fryer in the back of an Applebee's, there's a feed for that. But let's just keep
there's
it off
an app
Twitter.
For that.
Let's just call it the trash app. And, you know, every once in a while you get trash fixed, but let's just keep it off the other ones. I don't know. Just an idea.
Maybe that's what Jamie's working on this week. I don't know. She's very busy. Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Melody Malone from Passion, one of our favorite worship outfits, obviously. I mean, they're the OGs, right? We've talked to Christian Stanfield from Passion before, but we haven't talked to Melody. We're excited to have her join us, so don't miss that. We also have your feedback at the end of the show, but stay tuned right now. Up next, it's Relevant Buzz. It's a good one. My religion is a piano hanging over my about to break free. And I see it moving. Gotta pick up the group and let go. Everyone I know is running from the afterlife. Hey, you make it sound sweet. This is the fastest you can count on me. 1, 2, 3, 4. Everybody get on the dance floor. 5, 6, 7, 8. Small days, 7, 1. You're listening to Portugal the Man. The song is Dummy.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right, Emily, tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week.
I want to start off talking about some new legislation that Congress has passed that would make banning TikTok like an actual thing. For years, congressmen and women have shared that they want to ban TikTok nationwide. We've kind of heard this and just, you know, blown it off. Like, are they really going to do this? How are they going to do this? All of that. And a lot of states have actually banned government officials from using the app. So it's not really the most far-fetched idea, but everyone has just kind of assumed that when it came to the whole nation, it would never really happen for a variety of reasons until now. Congress passed the Deterring American Technological Adversaries Act last week, which gives Biden executive power to ban the app. There's some other things in it too, but most importantly, to ban TikTok if he decided to do so. Now, obviously the question on everyone's mind is, why would he do that? It's used so much. There's like millions of people who use it every single day. A lot of people have started building platforms and basically careers on it. So, you know, what's the reason for banning this app? And basically it all boils down to national security. Congress is concerned that because the app is owned by the Chinese government, it's hard to monitor if users are sharing or uploading content that could cause damage to our personal safety and just really the safety of the country. The committee chairman behind the legislature kind of shared the reasoning behind it. And it's really interesting what he said. He said, "How can we ban TikTok among ourselves and not ban it for our children? That is the moral question of today and of our time. TikTok is a modern day Trojan horse of the Chinese Communist Party used to survey and exploit Americans' personal information. In other words, it's a spy balloon in your phone."
I'm not a big native TikTok person. I don't have TikTok on my phone, like, but I'll see TikTok videos like embedded and things like that. But like, and I'm not saying this isn't like the wise or smart thing to do, but like, I don't know, like the sort of libertarian leaning in me is like, what's the legal precedent that the government can just tell you what kind of apps you are and aren't allowed to put on your phone? Like, if I have an app that they're telling me, "Hey man, this is taking your data," or this is, you know, surveilling your usage and you agree to it because it's buried in the terms of use agreement. Like, is there a legal precedent?
Yeah.
Like,
so it's national security. So they're saying with the location data, with the facial recognition, with location video, that if the Chinese government took the data that TikTok has on its servers, it could piece together basically a complete Google Street View of everything going on in America and all the people in America. And that's a national security concern.
But they're like, I get if I'm a, if I have a federal, if I'm a federal employee and I'm using like a government device, right? But as a private citizen, it's my prerogative if I want to share with anyone, including a foreign government, my location data. Like
there's also espionage laws and stuff like that you can't.
But I mean, share. If I were to just publicly write on the internet at the store right now at this location, just like that, I'm kind of dubious.
But they're saying that you might, but your video, you might be walking by something that is sensitive that you don't know is sensitive. You may be filming somebody in your background that is a person of interest that you don't know is a person of interest, and they're just saying.
But I still have the right.
You're
to do
capturing.
That.
But they're saying you don't. So national security concerns that they don't want to open up that Pandora's box and that they don't know what the Chinese government is going to do with the potential of what TikTok is doing. And there's like 300 million Americans using the app and it's just like gotten out of control and the government is not comfortable with it. I think it's a power play of, you know, basically saying China, you've taken too much of our intellectual property. And, you know, obviously there's a big Cold War, tech Cold War going on right now. I think what's going to ultimately happen is that they're going to just basically put their foot down and say either ByteDance, you can sell the company to a non-Chinese company, or you can shut it down. And obviously they'll sell. Back when Trump was threatening that, Microsoft was in talks apparently to buy TikTok. I think something like that will happen and they'll break off the US TikTok and the kids will keep dancing and it'll be fine.
I also like that it could be Microsoft, which is, in my opinion, like the nerdiest, like oldest, like seeing them like take over, like Clippy becomes a part of like the TikTok birth, you know. We've all seen the video of like the Microsoft Windows like 97 unveiling with Bill Gates and like, you know, Steve Ballmer like dancing on stage. Those are the last, if I was Congress, I'd be like, there's one group that cannot own this app. And I would just show the video because it's like, these people fundamentally don't understand dancing by the looks of this video. How can we give them TikTok?
Interesting. All right. What else do you have?
I want to talk about Joyce Meyer, televangelist. We all know at age 79.
Great preacher.
Great preacher. She's amazing. And now a tattooed woman.
Come on, Joyce Meyer.
She shared in a sermon recently that she got two tattoos and her husband also got a tattoo. She has a tattoo on her back and she has one on her foot. And she didn't show the ones because, you know, she's a classy lady. She's not just going to like take her jacket off and show.
We saw the one on her ankle because she wore capris. Sorry.
Yeah, because she is 79. So she was wearing capris.
I think the one on her back is a shoulder to shoulder eagle or cross with a Jesus hanging on the cross.
It is a cross. It's a cross and underneath it, it says, I belong to Jesus. But on her foot, she just has the word love because she wants to be reminded to walk in love.
I was really hoping it was the old Lord's Gym whole full back piece where it's like Jesus doing a push up with the cross. You remember those Lord's Gyms?
Well, she didn't show the picture, so we don't know. Maybe it is that. Maybe she just described
She's
it.
She's been talking about, Jesse, you had mentioned off air that she might have had a tattoo previously. She didn't. She has been talking about tattoos, though, for a few years. And preaching about that they're good and that the people who say that they're anti-scriptural are wrong and stuff. And because I remember this because in 2020, right after COVID started, I was doing some of the design work for Relevant. And I remember we ran a slice about her preaching about tattoos. And I made a graphic of Joyce Meyer preaching with complete sleeves of tattoos. I superimpose and Photoshop sleeves of tattoos on her. And we put it on Instagram and it got a lot of reaction.
I think she reacted.
So maybe you seeing that photo put in your head that she has tattoos, but no, those were not real. That was me Photoshopping her. But, she actually has tattoos now, but didn't she preached about it. She spoke about it, didn't she?
She did. Yeah. We actually have a clip of her talking about it. If you can play it, Jason.
And a friend of mine in Dallas was telling me about this tattoo artist that he knew that was a friend of his who was believing that someday he would get to tattoo me. Now, I mean, these things are not coincidences. And so, long story short, 2 weeks ago, I got tattooed on my shoulder. I have a nice little cross back there, and it says, I belong to Jesus. And just for good measure, I put love on my foot to remind me to walk in love.
Dude, please, please, if you're listening to this, like Kenneth Copeland or one of you old G's, OGs that are still out doing your thing, I'm going to say without comment because people can just presume what my opinion on them is. But please, go get the Post Malone. Like, do full Post Malone. I want to see I want to see Always Tired under the eyes. I want to see
the Justin Bieber necks, the neck tattoos.
Doesn't
Post Malone have like barbed wire on his forehead?
He does. And he has like a sword, I think, on his face. I just want one televangelist to go full on Post Malone.
I can Photoshop that and show you what it would look like. I can Photoshop that on Kenneth Copeland's face and if you want.
Just as the sword of the spirit.
I actually know this for a fact for Halloween costume purposes that you could buy the full Post Malone face tat kit and just go ahead and do a replica. Listen, it's not going to hurt anything to do one episode of like Find Your Faith Today, you know, or whatever one of these shows are. With the full Post ink. Just one time, just see what those Seed Faith donations, see how they perform at the end of the show. You go one episode full Post. I'm just tossing it out there.
I was with my brother the other night at the Magic game and I told him this because, you know, we come from the same family and my parents do not approve of tattoos. And my parents come from the same world as Joyce Myers. And so my brother is very tattooed. And it has been a thing in our family, you know. And so I was telling him to give him ammo for the next family gathering. Hey, by the way, Joyce Myers got tattoos. And he's like, who's that? And I was like, one of mom and dad's people. And he's like, well, you know, it seems like just everybody has tattoos now. I mean, what's the big deal? And I was like, I don't. But I mean, like, I was trying to give you ammo, dude. Like, tell mom and dad next time they look disapprovingly at your arms that one of their mentors and peers has tattoos, man.
Would you rather, what would be more satisfying if you were to turn on TV and like, you know, like Pat Robertson had either the Mike Tyson tribal eye ink face tattoo or like the Lil Wayne, like, Post Malone kind of inked up face? What would be more satisfying? I kind of think the tribal eye tattoo, personally.
The Pat Robertson goes tribal?
I don't know. I'm just saying I think I would enjoy seeing that more.
I'd be satisfied with any of it.
As long as it's above the neck.
I would definitely start tuning in.
Above the neck, you know?
Yeah. I just want all of the old Christians to, all of their tattoos have to be scriptural puns the way Joyce's are. Like, walk in love, so you get love on your foot. You know, our feet are shod with the gospel, so they tattoo the word gospel under their foot and all this stuff. We need all the puns. Or like the whole suit of armor, you know, the gospel of the armor. They could just get all that all over their body. I mean,
oh yeah. Isn't there something on like this armor of God, like that you can put on your head? Cause I would pay good money to see one of the televangelists.
The helmet of salvation.
There we go. Especially some of those bald ones, you know, make it a little design. It'd be fun.
Yeah. Like the Travis Barker, you just tattoo on fake hair. That is like a cool design. You know what I mean? Like one of them could pull it off.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. All right. What's the last thing?
We have to talk about this absolutely insane show for the trailer that I saw. This trailer that I saw yesterday. Kevin Hart is hosting Who's Having My Baby with Nick Cannon. That's all the preface you need.
Play the trailer.
Guys, you're on a game show right now.
Kevin Hart and Nick Cannon are coming to E! For the mother of all game shows.
Having My Baby with Nick Cannon.
You got pyro?
Yeah.
you're going to get some contestants that want to have your baby.
We're not kidding around.
Eeny, meeny, miny.
Let's go!
Who's Having My Baby with Nick Cannon, hosted by Kevin Hart, this spring, only on E!
I mean, listen, so who am I to judge? Birth rates are in decline. We know that. Teach their own.
Well, Nick Cannon's birth rate is not in decline. He currently has 12 children with 6 different baby mamas. So he's doing okay on the birth rate. I saw this yesterday, or I saw it the other day on Twitter, just absolutely bamboozled because there are many, many things going on with this show. But I looked it up, you know, there was other sources that were posting about it. So I was like, wow, I can't believe this got greenlit and that this is actually happening. And then imagine my surprise when I log onto the internet the next day and it was all a joke. It's actually a setup for a new Kevin Hart sketch show. But they marketed it like it was real and it convinced a lot of people, including me.
Can I be honest? The thought of a Kevin Hart sketch show is more offensive to me than this. Being familiar with his work.
That's great. Oh man. We saw this going around yesterday, or and E and the Today Show were all tweeting about it and stuff. And then Emily put it in our all staff and they had this whole 30-minute conversation, just I can't believe this, you know, the state of America today, and that and these women just want the money, and just everybody was just all up in arms about it. I stayed out of the conversation. And then this morning they revealed that.
It's not even April Fool's. Like, it was a terrible prank.
Oh, it was great.
Nothing personal. It's just a matter of taste, I guess. But I can't remember one thing I've seen recently. I'm like, oh, cool. Kevin Hart's in this. You know what I mean? It's always like, I guess I'll. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. When's the last time you watched any Kevin Hart content? I'm not saying he's always been like that. I think early on he was funny, but then he kind of got a little Disney-fied, a little oversaturated. I'm like, oh great, Kevin Hart.
I thought when Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg were doing the late night commentary on the Olympics, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He's capable of funny, but there's just too much. Yeah, I feel like every 5 commercials has Kevin Hart doing the same thing, which is him talking a little bit overly loud about the product.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's pretty much the entirety of the joke. Like, it's just too much. I say tack back, K Hart. Like, you know, take a beat, you know, take the Seinfeld thing, go down on top, let people, you know, build up the appetite a little, you know? I don't know.
Well, it's like an album. You can't have all hits. You got to have a hit and then you got to pull it back and have some ballads and then you build back up to the next hit after a few tracks. Kevin Hart's just coming out screaming and he's not taking a break. You got to go away for a while to build anticipation from your fans for your next thing. Look, and he's just not doing that. It's too much. It's oversaturation.
Yeah, he's in too much.
It's like much. 1 minute he's like in a State Farm insurance commercial. Next thing he's like sitting in the NBA studio, you know, next thing it's everywhere. We just need a break. Like, there's a reason when an artist puts out an album, it's a big deal because he put them out like one every 2 years. This would be like putting out like 7 albums a year. We've just got enough. We just got enough right now, Kevin Hart. We don't need the sketch show.
All right. That'll do it for
Relevant Buzz.
Make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com for the latest of what's happening at the intersection of faith, life, culture, justice. We're publishing all day, every day. Follow us on all the socials for the latest. Thanks, Emily. All right, stay tuned. Up next, Melody Malone from Passion joins us. You're listening to the National Parks. The song is Rodeo.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Well, our guest today is Melanie Malone. She's a worship leader with Passion. She's been with them for years. Okay, that was in the write-up. I'm not implying that she's been with them for like forever. She's not been with them for decades. She's not like old or anything, but she's not like brand new either. Okay, so there you go. Anyway, we talked to her not long after this year's Passion Conference. So obviously we talk about the conference. We talk about what Passion has been up to and what is coming up next. Here's our conversation with Passion's Melanie Malone.
Now, I know Passion was in Dallas and Atlanta this year. Was that was the album recorded at both, or was it just one of them?
I think everything came from Atlanta. Okay. I think we recorded everything, but when it came down to it, I think Atlanta won out.
What was conference like this year? I haven't gotten to talk with anyone yet.
Oh, man. They were very different. Dallas and Atlanta were very different. Dallas was very, it felt very pure and very intimate and not hypey, if that makes sense. You know, you get a room full of college students, thousands and thousands, and you think, oh, that's just got to be hype. But it was very, it felt very holy and intimate, and like there was a desire and a hunger for God in Dallas that was beautiful. And Atlanta, in its own right, was very much, it felt more like, oh, there's excitement. We're excited to be here. It's the start of a new year. We're believing for what God's going to do in this year. And they were both just, I stand in just amazement every time that we get to do this, just to watch a generation pursue Jesus. You know, we always talk about how this, you know, people count this generation out, or they're saying they don't believe in Jesus, they're not coming to church. But I do think there is a hunger for God, maybe not for religion, but there is a pure hunger to experience and to know God in this generation. And that's really exciting. This is all about you. This is all.
You know, when y'all were singing these songs at Passion, were there any that you felt maybe like really struck a chord with students, or just maybe had like a really powerful moment?
Yeah. I've witnessed it, the title of the record. I think that song is one that I was able to bring to the table this year. And it's kind of crazy. And I love it because we wrote it back in the summer. And I don't think I knew how much I needed that song when I wrote it. And then as we started to lead it, just to see how much it connected with people, I mentioned the word witness, and I love how Eugene Peterson comes around this word, because he says that a witness is someone who's not at the center, but points to and names the thing that is at the center. And I think as believers in Jesus and God, like that's our purpose. It's like we are here to point to what we've come to know, and who we've come to know is at the center of all of this. You know how it says in Colossians, like that it's in him and by him and for him that all things are made, and in him all things hold together. But this song really, it talks about how I've seen God's faithfulness in the past. I've seen his goodness. I've felt his presence. I have experienced his salvation. And because of the resurrection, I know all of these things are true. I have witnessed his goodness with my own eyes. I have witnessed healing. I've witnessed salvation. All of those things, I've seen it. And so in the days that it doesn't feel true, and the days that it feels like, I don't know if I can believe that again, it's a song that helps me remember that and say, no, I've seen it. I remember, like, I experienced this with God. And so I'm gonna choose to praise him today because he is always worthy, and believe for the future. Like that if I've seen it once, that I'm gonna see it again, because it's always always possible with Jesus.
Do you think that's like a shift that's happening with the younger generation, that they're not wanting the hype anymore? Or like, do you have any insight on that? I'm just curious.
I don't know if I have insight, but I think you're right. I think they're tired, you know, of being entertained. I think in this day and age, we have information at our fingertips. We have more information coming at us than ever before. And I think it's hard, you know, because we have to make decisions about what is real, what is true, what is false all the time. And so I think that this generation just longs for something that's real and true, and to actually experience something versus just to be like overwhelmed, and your senses are just going haywire. And I think just stripping everything back and just having this simplicity, I mean, I think that's the move of God. It's longing for a real encounter more than it is of, we didn't come here to be entertained. We didn't come to a show. We can get, like, honestly, the world is going to give them a much better show, much better entertainment value than the church ever could if we try to. And so I think they're just saying, we don't want that. We really do want Jesus. And so I think that's part of what you're seeing at Asbury, is just this pure hunger for Jesus at the end of the day. And the longer I behold you, I can't ever say again, you're holy,
so holy. That was Melody Malone. Make sure to check out Passion Worship's latest album, Burn Bright. It's available everywhere. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback.
President Dilly, I'm feeling like Diddy, a fool what I pity, the pride my Achilles. I bought a new house and it's outside the city. It's me and my baby and two little kitties. See that I'm winning and think that I'm sinning. You gotta be kidding. Well, actually, I guess you're right, factually. Thankful the Savior took that for me happily. I know that Satan is mad at me. Gotta be grateful that God is amazing and got me up out of my tragedy.
Amen.
This not a fable. He made me a table and left all my enemies raggedy.
Right there. Right
he put the oil on my head and the sword of the spirit, of course, by the bed in the morning.
Listening to No Big Deal. It's his new single, President. If you follow him on IG or TikTok, you've heard it.
Well, Relevant has a lot happening this year, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter right there on the front page at relevantmagazine.com, and we'll send you our top 5 trending stories into your inbox every weekday. We'll also send you a weekly podcast newsletter with the latest episodes, some fan extras, and first peeks at the new shows that we're going to be rolling out throughout this year. Make sure to sign up. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything we got going on.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, oh boy, this was a meandering. I mean, if you heard the show, the way we got here was, I don't know how we got here, but where we ended up was, Jesse wants to reboot Yellowstone, but Yellowstone 2002. He wants to do a version of Yellowstone set in 2002 where everybody wears decorative denim, has swoopy hair, and listens to Death Cab for Cutie and wears metal ball necklaces. That's what he wants. And wears Chuck Taylors, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it got us thinking about vintage style in the early 2000s, because it's the early 2020s, which means we're completely due. We've had some pieces. We've had a couple little pop-ins of early 2000s already, we know. But we're ready. It's happening. The avalanche is coming. The tsunami is coming of early 2000s comeback. So we asked you for feedback. What trend from the early 2000s do you not want to see come back in style? You hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast. And here's a few of our favorites.
This is Ross, and I don't know if he already has my pitch deck for Yellowstone 2002. It seems like he does. But he objected to laugh tracks. He said, your show isn't funny. You feel like you need to tell me when I'm supposed to laugh. Yellowstone 2001 is not only going to have laugh tracks, it's going to be filmed in front of a live studio audience, which is going to be difficult because we're going to be.
Wait, you're going back to the 80s?
We're going
to
be.
They weren't doing that in the 2000s.
It's
that was the 80s.
It's given a little touch of. It's given the show a touch of class. We're going to be filmed in front of a live studio audience, which is going to be difficult because it's also filmed in the wilds of Yellowstone.
Outside?
Yeah, outside. So. The budget for this show is quite expensive because we need hundreds of people to get the authentic. But I also want the, I also like want the, aww, when like the cute little okay, niece looks ask. Right yeah, at yeah. the camera and says, yeah, you know, yeah. or like, you know, the you know, if you drop breakfast on the floor and you see the golden, the family pet golden retriever trotting away with the waffle, you know, but we're going to have the whole gambit of emotions. We're going to have that yeah. one cue where it tells you, that this is like the moment to bring the kids in close. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. You know, this is the little lesson going on. Ross, that was real peak TV, and I'm glad you acknowledge it because it's absolutely coming back.
I have been watching. Now you're talking about shows like the you just blended 80s, 90s, and 2000s mm-hmm. because I think it died off kind of with Big Bang Theory. You know, but mm-hmm. that the, yeah. that era was the last gasp of that format of television, right? But it started in the 50s, right? Yeah. Basically the 40s with the radio shows. It was the live studio audience, right? And then, you know, and then it went to the television. I have been watching. I discovered, okay, during the Super Bowl, the number one commercial was what? Tubi.
Yeah.
That commercial where yeah. everybody thought that somebody sat on the remote and launched yeah. the Tubi app.
Where everyone hated their family for like 15 seconds.
Right. Everybody, somebody screaming at somebody like, so, you know, and anyway, it was genius. So a couple weeks later, the CEO of Tubi is on Marketplace on NPR. And I was just listening to it. And I don't know Tubi at all. And I'm listening to them, what they do. And he's saying that their whole thing is they have the largest library of television shows and movies of any streaming service, and it's completely free, and it's really about the algorithm, and they get to know what you like, and they have this tailored experience for you, blah, blah, blah. And I was just curious, so I came home that night, and I downloaded Tubi, and I'm checking it out. And they have, you know, all these shows that you grew up liking, and you're wondering, like, where are they now? Mm-hmm. Like, all these streaming services, and you can't find all these shows that you used to love. I'll tell you, my friend, they're all on Tubi. That's where they are. And I have been every night, and Emily can tell you, I have been staying up to like 4 a.m. every night watching like all these old shows that I used to love.
What are some highlights?
I am deep in Dick Van Dyke Show right now. I love the Dick Van Dyke Show, and it is the quintessential show of what you just described. Studio audience, moment of, you know, oh, like a teaching moment, you know, like all the pratfalls, all the things, you know, all the, I love it, man. It's great. It's great television. That's peak TV for me. Give it, you
is
know,
Tubi
let's go
just
back to
television
that.
Or are there movies too?
No, movies. Dude, they have Oscar winning movies. They have 12 Years a Slave. They have Superbad. They have like real
do they
movies.
Have, yeah. Do they have the Mary-Kate and Ashley catalog? Because I have been looking to watch
I
some
don't
of those
know.
Movies.
I didn't go that I didn't go in that category of the algorithm.
I'd be curious where those ended yeah. up. Who bought the rights?
That is a priceless catalog. So I might get Tubi if they have Mary-Kate and Ashley.
There's no reason why you wouldn't get Tubi. It's free. And there's very, very few commercials. You watch about 45 seconds of commercials per show. I'm not kidding. At the beginning of the show, it's about 45 seconds of a commercial. And then that's it for the rest of the episode.
That's my beef with like the commercial like level of Hulu. It's like, good Lord, because it shows you in a corner, like on a little clock. It's only 2.5 minutes of commercials left. You're like, this is the year 2023. I can watch like 15 pieces of content in 2.5 minutes.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? That's an entire commercial break. Yeah.
No, that's the crazy thing is that maybe they just don't have enough advertisers yet. I don't know, but like there's hardly any commercials on it. Anyway, whatever. That's enough free advertising for Tubi. Dick Van Dyke Show is what I was trying to say. Everybody go watch it. It's peak television. All right. What else feedback wise?
Emily, although I do want to clarify, her Twitter name is Emily spelled correctly and she spells it E-M-I-L-I-E. That is not correct. I'm very strong about that. But she suggested low-rise velour tracksuits with words on the butt, aka specifically Juicy.
Oh, yeah. No, bring them back. Bring them back.
Think Paris Hilton, Mary-Kate and Ashley. Just
bring them back.
Like iconic tracksuits. I have mixed feelings about it because the velour tracksuit part with the words on the butt, such a funny image. Very like I'll see people dress up for as Halloween and I think it's funny. I don't like the low rise part. That absolutely no one looks good in low rise pants. If you think you do, you're lying to yourself. I'm sorry, it has to be said. No one looks good in them. It is just
I'm sorry, but when women's pants went from low to normal to like these mom jeans, like halfway up their torso, I just missed the normal to lower cut of pants. And I'm glad that they're going back that direction. I'm sorry to say, Emily.
It is shocking how like low some of those like pants were though. Like I was watching a movie a couple months ago, Cameron Diaz movie, and she had on these low rise pants and I was shocked because I don't understand like the physics behind them, how they were staying up. Cause I was like,
like they're barely above the leg.
Yeah.
Like yeah. They ended at the top of the leg. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't understand how one, these passed as pants and two, multiple people wore them and thought they looked good in them. Like, and I love,
they were connected
Diaz.
Leg warmers. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, she could have put on, like, add 2 inches to those pants and we would have been just fine. I feel so. Tracksuits, yes. Low rise, no.
Well, Georgia said choker necklaces, which, you know, I could see that. I could see that coming back. Or, you know, Georgia said she doesn't want to see this. Well, they are a hair's breadth away from like those puka shell necklaces. And we're all watching Outer Banks. We know they're storming back. Okay. All you got to do is like tie a couple bandanas around your wrist and get a puka shell. You're straight John B territory. So got bad news, Georgia. They're coming back.
Eric said bandages as an accessory on the cheek. Think Nelly. Oh, he yeah, always had Nelly. A little bandaid on his cheek for no reason. Yeah.
He still like it. Has anyone seen Nelly?
He might still be rocking it. Although I think that could work for Yellowstone 2002 because, you know, might have like gotten nipped on the barbed wire or something, you know? Well, so like he might need a little cheek bandage.
Real talk. I thought he had like a little biopsy there. Like, oh, good news. It's benign. Benign, Nelly. I'd wear sunscreen, but we got the little scrape. We checked it out. You should be good to go. But we SPF 40 is what we're saying.
Cassie said jeans under dresses. And I did absolutely do that trend. And I really can't think of a worse trend that has ever hit history. Like it just,
I never understood that trend. It's like,
so
why would you
want
to get bulkier? Yeah.
And also I'll say not comfortable. It's truly one of the worst trends that I've ever fortunately been a part of.
I didn't see this out there and I'm kind of surprised, but someone just strolled in right now and they're wearing the Von Dutch trucker with the Jesus is my homeboy shirt. Is anyone,
oh, yeah.
Who's not being like, all right, you know what? I see what you're going for here. And I appreciate the heck out of it. Like to me, that could come back at any moment. Any moment, the Von Dutch hat with.
It is coming back.
It had a moment in 2000. Like there was a minute there where there were a lot of influencers wearing Von Dutch hats. It's kind of died off a bit, but I think it could easily come back.
Wait,
again.
You just said 2000.
Sorry. 2020. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a little bit of a comeback of Von Dutch. You're right. It was like coming back ironically, and then it didn't quite catch. You're right.
If I had a Jesus is my homeboy shirt, it would be back in rotation. There's no question.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a clutch item from that era.
Okay. I agree with, I agree with Craig. He says the fedora, the Justin Timberlake fedora. If I never see one of those out in the wild again, I will be a happy person. And then we would never work for Yellowstone 2002. So
see the thing about the fedora, the age limit to wear it, like the floor is extremely high. Let me just say that.
Right. Look, nothing below 70, right?
Exactly. But then it's a whole vibe. You know what I mean? If you see a 70-year-old guy having a cup of coffee, reading the newspaper, wearing a fedora, that guy's seen some stuff. He's probably got some good stories.
That's the coolest dude on the block. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm okay with fedoras because if you wear one, that kind of lets me know that you're like a red flag and I should just like stay away from you. So if you're wearing it, that just tells me more about you than I need to ask.
Or like, unless you're over the age of 70 and you have it with
then
like
it's
a
endearing.
Cool duster or something. And,
yeah.
And you're like, that guy has probably solved a murder at some point, like a very complex one, like Glass Onion style. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle says designer facial hair. She sent a picture of that one guy from the Backstreet Boys that had like the pencil
shoestring
beards and the shoestring goatees and all this very, very sculpted. I still see it, not maybe as much on white guys. I still see it around.
I've seen it in the wild quite a number of times because I mean, here's the thing. Like if you go to certain establishments, right? And I'm thinking,
yeah,
okay, I'm just going to say it. All right. And this isn't because I frequent there, but we've all had the experience of walking by there. If you go to a chain restaurant bar, okay, on a Friday night, you're going to see a lot of fashions, like items that just, that people just stopped evolving in about 2003, 2002. Like you will see the Affliction, like bedazzled back pocket jeans. You will see 100%. that thin facial hair. I'm telling you, go into.
You will see frosted tips, spiky hair.
Yeah,
with the same guy. He's wearing all of this.
I'm telling you, roll up to your local like TGI Fridays, but just the bar section on a Friday night. You could go even Cheesecake Factory, a little classier there. But you're gonna see fashion that look like it's straight, you know, 2003. And just got stuck in ember like one of those mosquitoes in Jurassic Park. That's what chain restaurant bars are these days. And I appreciate those guys.
It's the Guy Fieri situation. It's like most people, I'm not going to say everybody, most people, guys in particular, you can tell the peak year of their life because their music taste and fashion stopped there. Music taste, fashion, and haircut stopped there, whether it be high school, college, early 20s, mid 20s, late 20s, whatever. And they just froze it. They're like, I like this, and this is me now. And that guy may be 48, he may be 33, he may be 21. You don't know. He's wearing the same style, but you know, I saw this dude. He was wearing studded white jeans with white, like pointy cowboy boots, an Affliction shirt. He had spiky frosted tip hair. He had on a choker necklace and he was at the bar at the Porch. I saw him last Friday night. Yeah. And I was like, dude, he's rocking 2001. Like I haven't seen since 2001. It was amazing.
There's a reason why they're at with their date at the Chili's bar, you know, splitting some sliders and a marg with two straws on Friday night. You know, life has just paused. It is on a hard pause and lifestyle choices just never moved on. And, you know, right. They live simpler lives. And who am I to judge? Right.
No one. Yeah. All right. That's your feedback. There's more where that came from. Go check out everything. Look at our mentions at Relevant Podcast on Twitter. Okay. It's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
Okay. Well, earlier in the show, we were talking about Scandoval. And who knows? By the it's so fast moving that by the time this comes out, which is 2 days after we're recording it, who knows what might have happened?
God may have just Scandoval ushered in the apocalypse because this was just it hit the point. It hit it.
It was the final
pale white horse emerges. Yeah, finally the seventh seal will be broken, and finally move us into the next chapter, the final chapter of the tribulation. Thanks to them.
Wait, is it riding the white horse doing cocaine? Maybe that is what's going to happen. I don't know. Anyway. I got us thinking about guilty pleasure television. And so here's the deal. Everybody has their guilty pleasure television. Jesse's like, well, I watch this, but here's why I watch it. And I'm like, well, here's why I watch this. Totally, you know, it's anthropological and it helps me. Yeah. We all defend our guilty pleasure a little bit. We all have the, well, I don't really like it, but here's why I watch it. We want to know your guilty pleasure TV and defend it. Like it gets a bad rap. But tell us why you watch it and why people should give it a chance. That's what we want. We want to know your guilty pleasure and why it shouldn't get a bad rap, why you watch it and why you think more people should enjoy it as well. Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast, or you can tell us in the IG story when we post this question as well. That's a good one. I like it. What's yours, Emily? I don't even know. What's your guilty pleasure?
I do not feel guilty about it, but it is probably Sister Wives or any of the TLC shows.
They do get a bad rap. So what's your defense for it?
They are the most fascinating people on TV because there is no one else like them. The amount of just The way that they like suspend reality to live in their world is, I cannot explain it. You have to watch all 17 seasons to understand them, but it is incredible.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Just the most fascinating humans.
It's like, right. Same thing with like A Love is Blind, you know? Like, I don't know why this works, but falling in love in those pods, it just works. I don't know why. I would just say watch the show.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to remind you to make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com every day. We're publishing the latest at the intersection of faith, life, culture, justice. Not only just the latest news and stuff, but also features, you know, help you grow in your faith and impact the world you live in and live a healthier life and all the good stuff, you know. Also, make sure to check out Relevant Plus. It's our ad-free subscription where you get ad-free unlimited viewing at relevantmagazine.com. You get our digital magazine, as well as an ad-free version of this podcast, an exclusive podcast, and a lot more to come this year. Plans start as low as $2.50 a month, and all the information is right there on the Relevant Plus tab at the top of relevantmagazine.com. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
All right, we'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
I just want one televangelist to go full on Post Malone.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.